scripture, my times are in his hands, and how God works things differently than we thought. Sometimes we cause God to circumvent how he wants to move with our own actions, and we just have to, you know, talk to God until we get ourselves in line with him. But we're going to start with an old song, and if you remember it, fine. If not, it's really easy, and it's only the chorus. And we're going to talk about God being an on-time God.
Yeah. Something we must know. Amen. It's something we must believe. Amen. Our focus thought that I will praise God for coming to save me. We'll get into our lesson text today in Isaiah 7 and 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 9, verse 1 through 7. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation when at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more grievously afflict her by the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of nations. Verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Verse 3, thou hast multiplied the nations and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy and harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Verse 4, for thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice henceforth, even forever. Amen. Praise the Lord for his word. Amen. I read the things that we have here today. You know that it was prophecies that we see has come fulfilled. Amen. The prophecies in the Bibles are all true. And amen. And when we look on the things that we can see, and these one thing today, it's not something whether you want to believe it or whether you have to believe it, you must believe it. Amen. We must believe that he was God in the flesh and came and manifested himself in flesh among us. Amen. And who he was. Amen. We've got to believe that. But the reason he came is that we might have hope. Without Jesus Christ, we have no hope. You have no start. Amen. Because, you know, back in the Old Testament, they had their things, you know, the sacrifice, the ceremonial of sacrificing animals. Amen. But that would only put things a year at a time. Amen. But it pointed to Christ Jesus. Jesus came, and that he came, that he fulfilled what God had done. And amen, Jesus, you can't understand Jesus without understanding the Old Testament. And the Old Testament can't be understood unless you understand Jesus. Amen. And it's got to all be there, and we've got to believe those things, because in John 3:16, that's a verse that we all know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He said, whosoever believeth on him. Amen. We can't just take it. The world wants to just take a nonchalant thing toward God, you know, but we've got some things that we've got to listen to. We've got some things that God wants us to know. And we've got some things that he said we must believe. Now, we might want to say, well, I don't really believe in that. Well, it doesn't matter. It don't change it none. We have to believe it. 1 Peter 1:3. I will praise God for coming to save me. That's our focus thought in 1 Peter 1:3. Says, blessed, that means praise, be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again. I'm glad I was born again, because that old fella before wasn't going to get nowhere. Amen. I'm glad God let me be born again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. The resurrection. Amen. God said, well, he said, I'm finished with the work on the cross, but he had something else to do. Amen. He had to rise from the dead. He had to defeat death. Amen. He made the way. He said, it's finished, and it was finished. Amen. We'll get into more of that as we go on. But Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, there was somewhere Paul spoke to King Agrippa. He said, this thing was not done in a corner. He said, you know the scripture. He said, you know the scripture. You know what it says. He said, believest thou the scripture? He said, I know you do. He said, this thing was not done in a corner. You can, if you read the Bible, you can take the Old Testament and you can see Jesus Christ all the way through it. And it's easy. The more I read it, the more I see that. But God promised a Messiah way back there in the Old Testament. He gave this promise in a time of terrible distress. Amen. The children of Israel, the 10 tribes of Israel, were just beginning to go into captivity. And Israel was really worried about it. So we come to a time of that. Sometimes when distressful times come, that's when God does something. Folks, if we're not in distressful times, everybody knows. Seems like we're headed toward it. And I believe when that comes, I believe God's going to do something. He always has. Amen. We're going to get into our first scripture in our lesson today. And this scripture here, it kind of had me stumped, because I couldn't fit it with a second. All right. Let's go to Isaiah 9:1. And the first one with a completely understands this, you stand up. It says, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulah and the land Naphtali, and afterwards did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan and Galilee of nations. Now, see how this fits with the second one, if you can. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shine. Do you have that in the NIV? You don't have that. Well, I do. Amen. And I want you to, we have to understand this first verse, because it's, whether you know it or not, it's the beginning of the work of Christ. It's the first works that he did. And I want to show you, Lord willing. All right, verse Isaiah 9 and 1 in the NIV. See it now. When I read this, you're going to check and see if you think it all lines up. You're going to think it don't. 9 and 1 in the NIV. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. That kind of fits. Said in the land of Zebulun and the land of, no, I missed some of this, excuse me. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond Jordan. Now over here, I can agree with it too. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, as the first he lightly afflicted the damsel and Naphtali. Here's where it kind of got me confused. And afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea. How did they get, but in the future he will honor Galilee and the nations by the way of the sea. I had a friend of mine one time, a good friend. And he told me, he said, only thing you need to study the Bible is a Webster's Dictionary and the Bible. You get the Webster's Dictionary, you're going to be completely confused. You're going to be totally confused. Is the NIV right? Yes, sir, they're right. I'm going to show you. Now, something else I heard and I've seen on Facebook this morning, not to get away from things. They say some good things. Someone said on there, correct each other in private, defend each other in public, and keep your personal business off of Facebook. But you know those first things, that would go good, wouldn't it, if we would just do that? If we could correct each other in private, but defend each other in public. That's a good thing. Just because I disagree with you don't mean I hate you. Amen. Matter of fact, I like a good discussion. I respect other people's opinions. I mean, we can't always, right? All right, but anyway, but here we get to this. Then I went into the dictionary, Webster's, and when I looked for grievously afflicted, it says to a very serious degree, causing great grief or great sorrow. Well, in the NIV, they said to honor Galilee of nations by the way of the sea. Then I went to the Bible dictionary. I went in to see what the Greek had to say about it. You know, it's something. Webster's will give you part of an opinion. I think I proved that last time I was up here. But they won't give you what the Greek means in that. Now, they agree with Webster's to this point. The name Kaba means grievously afflict. To be heavenly, to be heavy, to be weighty, to be grievous, to be severe. Now, Webster's agrees with that. But the Greek has more. It also means to be numerous, to be honored, to be renowned, be honored or esteemed, be glorious. So, again, NIV proved that they knew what they was talking about. But I still like the way Brother Wells did, and that's the way I like to do it. Reading, I want to know if they had NIV. Put King James up. Put NIV, next to it. So that way you get by with those things. But we're built on the foundation of the apostles and upon Jesus Christ. And this scripture, I'm going to read the second scripture, verse 2, before I go. And the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light shines. Now with the section that was that we looked into and they defined it, it goes along with the second chapter. And also, the definition of the word goes along with what was put in the NIV. See, we need to check those things, and it's the same way with about sometimes we correct each other. Listen, I remember a time that if you didn't agree with me, I was out of here. But I'm going to stay here now just to aggravate you. You know? Because we just need, I like your opinion. Don't mean I won't agree with it. Amen. But when the Bible talks about the babes in Christ, how that they should be receiving meat by now, but they're not, they haven't got past the milk. Now, when I was a baby, I didn't have nothing to do with what they fed me. But when I came, the Bible says you become a man, you come out of your childish ways. Now, what I give you today, you should check it. Because you're not a baby. If you are, you can't help but take what I feed you. But if you're a man, if you're mature in God, you are to take that and study it yourself. Amen. Don't tell me I'm wrong if you can't prove it, because I'm going to make you prove it. But that's all right. Amen. Just like sometimes, it just makes sense, you know, correct in private and defend in public. I don't mind someone coming to me and telling me that, hey, I just don't believe what you're saying. Well, let's sit down. Amen. But in the days of Ahaz, God told him, or Isaiah did, said, ask God a sign. He said, I'll not ask him a sign. You know why? He wasn't concerned. Amen. And that's where the world is today. They're not concerned about what the Word of God says. They want to go to a church and find a preacher that makes them feel good. But that's good. But get the Word of God out there too. That's the main thing. Brother David, you said the main thing is to keep the main thing. And that's what we do, if we can. But Ahaz, he didn't really care. But God said, he gave the sign anyway because it was meant for more than just him. And it was noteworthy that this sign came clearer as the distress got worse. But we have to build our things upon what Christ has to say. Romans 15 and 4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. And there's no other hope except in Christ Jesus. That's my hope. I may have a lot of opinion about things, but when it comes to the Word of God, that stays the same. The Word of God is just like God's creation. You can't change it. Amen. You can take a piece of wood. You can burn it. And then all that smoke will go up. But scientists say when they weigh it, it still weighs the same. It's just spread out. You can't destroy it. That's the reason Christ said, I didn't come to destroy the Word. He said, I come to fulfill it. Just like creation, man can't create anything. They can work with what's created and invent something, but they can't create anything. If they say, I created this, they say, no, you didn't. You took from what God created and you put it together. That's all they can do. God's Word is the same. It can't be added to or taken away. But here, when we get back to the first scripture, Isaiah 9 and 1, now I'm going to show you where it says it in the New Testament, how this fit exactly where Jesus began his work. Isaiah 9:1, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress in the past. He humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond Jordan. Now let's read Matthew 4:13-17. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt upon the seacoast, remember, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. Verse 14, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Isaiah the prophet, saying, see, that's another thing you do. You take the scripture, you take what is said, see if it lines up with the scripture. The scripture will interpret itself. Because we can't add to or take away from it. It's in there. Verse 15, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Same thing. The people that sat in darkness saw great light. Now it makes sense, don't it? Now it makes sense. Before, when you read that the first time, I thought, how come I get all the hard lessons? But when you get into it, it's not actually that hard. Verse 16, the people that sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the regions in the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Now I told you this where Jesus began this, verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach. Now how important was that verse to interpret? That was very important that that verse was to be interpreted. And we build upon these things. Jesus Christ built upon the Old Testament. Amen. He didn't, and I don't see how they missed it. But they missed it. It was clear as the nose on our face, all of these things that Christ did. Now, Isaiah prophesied a coming Messiah. He prophesied exactly the way he came. And if Jesus came any other way, it wouldn't be according to prophecy. It couldn't be. Amen. Think about when King Hezekiah, when all the enemy was 150,000 strong, surrounded Jerusalem. And Hezekiah, he was all stressed out. He went into the house of God and he prayed, and God told him not one arrow would come over that wall into Jerusalem. If one arrow had come over that wall, that would have been false prophecy. If Jesus come any other way except according to the prophecy that Isaiah laid down, it was false prophecy. Now, the Jews, they was looking for somebody. They were looking for a big, strong guy to lead them. I think what Brother Tom taught this weekend, he said, you have our prayers are sometimes earthly-minded instead of kingdom-minded. See, they got into earthly-minded. And when they got into earthly-minded, amen, they missed the kingdom-minded. So that's the things we have to stay with in order to get the will of God done. Amen. In Israel and Judah, they fought many battles. Many battles before they got up to this time of Judah and Israel, when Israel was close to be going into captivity and Judah was already beginning to feel the heat from the fire of it. Amen. They had many battles. But here's what the Bible says, what God said about it. Isaiah 9:5, for every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be fuel for the fire. Now, folks, Israel, they battled back then, but we had many battles in this nation, many, many wars. Amen. But you know what? Ain't nothing changed. We're still fighting. Amen. We had the war against the British for our independence. We had the Civil War. The South created a Confederacy to break away from the States, and slavery came later as a reason. World War I, Germany sank a British carrier that carried 128 Americans. But the main reason was the Zimmerman telegraph that Germany sent to Mexico urging them to attack the United States southern border. become a German ally. All kinds of reasons. It still sounds familiar, don't it? It's still the same thing. Nothing has changed. We entered into World War II after Pearl Harbor. Korea, because of the spread of communism. Vietnam, the same way. Amen. But here we are. Ever since Christ, there have been wars and rumors of wars. We've been in the last day, and they've been wars all the time as we go along. But Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, that's our real solution. Amen. Put Isaiah 9 and 6 and 7 on the board. Amen. God has sent what we need. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The seal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. He's going to bring a peace that we just can't seem to get. Amen. We get out of one war, we walk right into another one. It could take me all day to just number the wars that this world has had without even talking about them before I could get down from here. There's just no end to it, but Christ is bringing something that's going to end all this. Amen. It's going to be the end of all of it. That's what he said, for therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Verse 7 and 14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son that shall call his name Emmanuel. Amen. Jesus came exactly the way that God prophesied him to come. If he had to come any other way, Isaiah, it would have been false prophecy. One of them would have been wrong. But Jesus came exactly the way that God said he would come. And man needs to pay a lot of attention to that. Well, we talk about different religions. Well, you know, after all, we all serve the same God. Listen here, you be careful with that. I want to show you something. First, let's read Timothy 3 and 16. For without controversy, without question, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. You say, now I've got you stumped. He said, believed on in the world. Well, I want to tell you something. You can check it out if you want to. Every major religion has incorporated Christ into it one way or another. And one of those biggest major religions. But you know what? They're all on shaky foundations. They're all foundations by men. You take Muslim foundation is on Muhammad. Amen. But Jesus Christ's foundation is based upon the Old Testament all the way through. It's based on the very thing that most everybody believes in, and that is the Word of God. And the Old Testament is based on that. That is the foundation of Jesus Christ. And now we build upon that foundation that Jesus Christ has laid. Amen. I want to show you something here in just a second. The Bible says, Jesus said in one of the places, he said, John 14, 11, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now, didn't we just read Matthew 3 and 16? It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever should believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life, whosoever believeth on him. Now, I'm going to show you a little bit of something. I couldn't go into all the religions. I don't have time. I'm running out of time already. Islam around 600 A.D. to 700 A.D. It was around 600 or 700 years after Christ before Muhammad ever came. So it's built upon the foundation of Muhammad alone. But listen to this concerning Christ. Now the Messiah, the son of Mary, was only a messenger. Messengers before him passed away, talking to the prophets, not believing in the resurrection. The Messiah, the son of Mary, was only a messenger. Messengers before him passed away. His mother was a just woman. They believe she was a virgin. They both ate food. In other words, they're saying they're just human. how we make clear the signs to them, how perverted they are. Then in the next verse, one of the verses said, surely Jesus, the son of Mary, will soon descend. They believe he's going to descend among you and will judge mankind justly. He will break the cross and kill the pigs. See, I'm so glad that we have a Christ that he loved us, and he talks about peace, not war.
Right.
Amen. Why did that? Because all through the Old Testament they had wars because they had no end to where they was at. They had nothing that could take away the sins. Jesus Christ, the only one that could do that. And then another verse in there said, we hate you first and foremost because you are disbelievers. You reject the oneness of Allah. Well, we don't do that. We know there's only one God. I don't know who Allah is. If they say that's God, maybe some say it is, say it ain't. But nevertheless, we believe in one God. Said, if you realize it or not, by making partners for him in worship, you blaspheme, claiming he has a son. God is taking care of all of these things. Amen. Man don't have to take it. But like John 3:16 said, whosoever believeth. It's a thing that we believe that Jesus Christ is the one that come to be a Savior for our sins, and he was prophesied from the very beginning of the Old Testament all the way up to the New. How can we deny that? When all the other, see, they can't even deny his works. They can't deny the works, but they just don't want to come out and take the full knowledge of Jesus Christ and who he was.
Yes.
And God will have to judge that. John 4:34. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. To finish his work. He said, Matthew 5:17 says, think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Amen. The Old Testament couldn't do away with sin. It could only push them a year ahead at a time. But they're types and shadows of the new. I got 3 verses to read here, or 4, and then I'm all done. Hebrews 10:4 says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin.
Right.
It's not possible. Move up a little bit, back up to 10:2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. No more moral obligation to go over that again and again and again and again. It's been taken care of. It is finished. Like Jesus said. Hebrews 10:3. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. But Jesus come once for all. He said there remaineth no more sacrifice. John 19:30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. Amen. Can you say praise God?
Yes.
Hallelujah. He did it. He finished it all. Amen. He completed the work of God. When he received, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Amen. You know, if he can do that for us, we are to at least know who he was and what he did. Amen. I think at this time we'll all stand. What we do here, we kind of break up our service a little bit. We have a main service, worship service coming up in 10-15 minutes. And what we do here, we just pray, or get to go to the bathroom, get a drink of water. Amen. We just do this in this next few minutes until 11 o'clock.
Living love, dying in faith, me, very deep.